The scripture reading for this morning is found in the prophecies of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The text for the sermon is found here in this chapter, Isaiah 55, verses 1, 2, and 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And what follows through verse 2 and 3. Beloved congregation, the Bible often pictures the Lord Jesus Christ as a gracious host who extends the most cordial, heartfelt invitations to all kinds of people and even all kinds of nations. Come unto me, our Savior says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in Isaiah 45, the Lord says, look to me and be saved. All you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Yes, indeed, God is a very inviting God in and through Jesus Christ. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be satisfied, fulfilled. He knows that by nature we all look for happiness. We all look for satisfaction, but we look for those things in all the wrong places. Instead of turning to him for fulfillment and finding salvation in Christ, we chase after sinful pleasures and worldly goods, hoping thereby to quench our thirst, to fill our empty hearts in that way. But these things do not and cannot bring happiness, and they will never give us satisfaction. And there is no passage in Scripture that shows this more forcefully and powerfully and vividly than Isaiah 55, verses 1, 2, and 3. For here we have the Lord calling sinners to find in Him everything that their thirsty souls and their hungry hearts are longing for. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Well, we will meditate for a few moments on these precious words before we will come to the Lord's Supper this afternoon. Our theme is the most generous invitation ever given. We will look at the people who are invited, at the goods that are offered, and the price that is fixed or stipulated. First then, who are invited? The answer is, according to our text, there are two kinds of people. The first kind is described in verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come and eat. Buy and eat, even if you have no money. The first kind of people that God invites then are described as penniless, bankrupt. They are people that are obviously aware of the need, but they know that they cannot pay for what they need. And if you belong to that category, you are blessed, because you know that you need the things that are described here. And then you come to the house of God with a deep thirst in your heart. Your heart is dry like soil that has not seen rain for many months. Like David, you are wandering in the desert of this life, where all the streams are dry, as we have just sung. And you are crying out to God, who is the fountain of living waters, but somehow you don't know how to get to Him. Something blocks the way to that fountain, and you know, you sense what that is. It is your sins that have separated you from the Lord. Your backslidings, they have created a wall between your soul and the one that you love, but who you have offended by your sins. You have wandered away from the Lord, and you've tried to find satisfaction in the things of this life and this world, but you know that it hasn't worked. You feel empty. You feel afraid. Will God take me back? Will He have anything to do with me anymore? What can I do to clean up the mess that I've made of my life? And then you envy those who live close to the Lord and who enjoy His peace. And there is nothing that you can give to the Lord to gain or to regain His favor. All you see is that you have sins and shortcomings. Yes, you have desires, you have longings, you have a thirst for God, but what good is thirst if you cannot get or go to the water supply? As pants the hart or the deer for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for Thee. Is that how you feel? Then there is hope for you. There is a message about to come to you. Because to all such people, God says, ho, everyone who thirsts and who has no money, no resources, no qualifications, no bargaining chips, no track record, no references, no prestige, no pull. God is inviting you this morning to enjoy the things that really satisfy: peace with God and the joy of His salvation. And that all for nothing. If you have no money, you may still come and buy. But there is also a second kind of person here described in a text who is invited by the Lord, and that should encourage those of you who fear that perhaps you don't quite fit into that first category. You do not really see that you are absolutely bankrupt yet. You think you still have some money left to spend. How do I know? Well, because of what the Lord says in verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? The Lord says, and your labor for that which does not satisfy. Apparently, He's here addressing people who, sure, they don't have what it takes either, but they think they may still have something that they can work with. In verse 1, God says, "He who has no money, come." In verse 2, He talks to people who still think that they have some money left in their wallet. The first kind of person is spiritually bankrupt and knows it. They are thirsty, they are broke, but the second person is rather foolish. He thinks that he is not yet in such dire straits that he is totally helpless. He's got some money and he is spending it. Not like the other person, burnt out at the end of his rope. No, he is still spending. He is still working, still dreaming, chasing, searching, experimenting. Not satisfied with his present job, he secures a different, more challenging position. He thinks his house is too small or too plain, so he buys another, nicer one. He's bored, perhaps, with the wife he married and starts looking elsewhere. He must have a new computer, new car, new boat, try the latest diet, new looks, new hairdo, new clothes, new possessions. But so far he has not found what he's looking for. He has not discovered that proverbial pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. No fountain of youth has turned up yet. The new car brings no lasting excitement. The computer, the new one, crashes just like the one it replaced. Everything that is new gets old. And the number of toys in the closet, in the basement, grows by the year. Am I talking to some of you? With all the abundance of things that you have, acquired, accumulated, you still have that empty spot in your heart, don't you? There is still that vacuum there that you've tried to fill, but it doesn't give what you were hoping for: peace, satisfaction. There's still something in you that longs for something more, something better, something solid, substantial. Well, God knows all about that. Even better than you do yourself. He has you in mind, therefore, when He says, "Why do you spend money for bread, which is no bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy?" And so, there are two kinds of people that are invited here by the Lord: the thirsty who are broke and cannot pay, the thirsty who think that they can pay and work their way into success and satisfaction. Congregation, I believe that we all fit into one or the other of these two categories mentioned here, in varying degrees perhaps, but we either belong to those who are at the end of their resources, or we are still trying to keep on going on our own steam, and we hope that somehow we will find what we are looking for. And now, to both of these kinds of people, the Lord comes with His wonderful offer. What does this offer consist of? Well, basically three things are mentioned: water, wine, and milk. These three beverages sum up man's fundamental needs. Water. That corresponds to the need for refreshment. When you are most thirsty and most desperate, most dehydrated, it is water that you want and nothing else. He leads me beside still waters. He restores, he refreshes my soul, David says in Psalm 23. And now God invites you today to receive refreshment, restoration, reviving. And then there is milk. Well, milk corresponds to the need for ongoing nourishment. When someone is gasping for life, then you give him water. But when you want your newborn baby to grow, then you give it milk. That's what you start off with, but you keep on feeding him with milk again and again. Now, God is interested in your long-term health. He wants you to be strong and stable, so he offers you milk. And later, even meat, as the apostles discuss in the New Testament. But there's more. He also offers you wine. Now, why would he do that? Wine is not essential to life, is it? Water is, and milk, and food, but not wine. We can do without that. Yes, but wine in the Bible represents the exhilarating impact of the gospel. It meets the need of God's creatures to be happy, to be joyful. Every human being wants to live and not die. We want to be healthy. We want to be strong. But that is not all that we need in this life. Deep down, there is also the need to be happy, to be joyful, not just to continue to exist. Then water and milk will do. But there is more to life than that. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In his salvation, I rejoice, the psalmist says. And that is why the Lord wants us to come to him, not only for water and milk, but also for wine, which, according to his own word, makes glad the heart of man. The last part of verse 2 describes the quality and the quantity of these benefits of water, milk, and wine. For it says, listen carefully to me, or hearken, as it says in the King James, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The word good means that what God offers to us is top quality, the best there is. And the word abundance means that there is plenty. Not just the absolute necessities that we require, but there is an abundance. The water is good, and it is plentiful. The milk is good, and there's lots of it. The wine is good and it is bountiful. The Bible loves to talk about the riches of God's glory and the fullness of joy which are at his right hand. The Lord gives us what is best. He gives us that which never runs out. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. And then in verse 3, God explains what these symbols of water, milk, and wine really stand for. Incline your ear, he says, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, which are the sure mercies of David. In verse 1, he says, come to the waters, come for wine and milk. But now, in verse 3, he says, come to me. God himself, you see, is our living water. God himself is that nourishing milk. God himself is that exhilarating wine. But you know, there is even more involved here. God goes on to say that when we come to him, then he makes or renews a covenant with us. And what kind of covenant is the Lord referring to? Well, the same kind of covenant that he made with King David. In 2 Samuel 7, we read about that covenant that it is sure and steadfast mercies. When you come to God, in other words, he binds himself by an unbreakable oath to provide you with all things necessary for time and for eternity. These mercies, they are sure and steadfast. And how are we to obtain all this? How can we get those things? How do these gospel blessings represented here by water, milk, and wine become ours? Well, this way. Were you ever at a market? I'm sure you have been to these farmers' markets in St. Jacob's and other places where these merchants are crying up their wares. These vendors are after one thing only, and that is to get you to spend your money. And they operate on the assumption that you have money in your pocket. Or otherwise they would not waste their breath urging you to buy their goods. They wouldn't even bother to come to the market. No money, no business. We all know that that is obvious. But that is not how things go at the gospel market. The vendor here knows that you have no money. And that even if you think you have, you don't. And he knows that you have been wasting the money that you did have on things of no value. And now he says here that you can have everything that you need because I offer it to you without money and without price. It's all yours for the asking. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, the Lord says to Israel in Psalm 81. Now, in a way, that doesn't make sense to us. It goes right against the grain for us to think that we can have all these wonderful things for nothing. We become suspicious when people offer us something for which we don't have to pay. Then we think there must be some problem with it. Must be worthless. We always expect to have to pay at least something for what we would like to have. We all think that salvation must be earned somehow. That's what all false religions have in common. They all charge something. Some effort has to be put forth. And we all think that way, really, by nature. We must work for it. We must do something or bring something. And that is, congregation, the explanation for this is that we still think that the covenant of works is still in operation. But God says, no. That was working before the fall when I made that covenant with Adam. But that way of earning salvation or eternal life is cut off forever. As Paul says, by the works of the law, no man is justified. The covenant of grace is the new way whereby I save sinners, says the Lord. It is by grace through faith that you are saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then Paul says in Romans 4, to him who does not work, who has stopped working, but who believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, doesn't that make the gospel cheap? No, it doesn't. The gospel is not cheap. It's blessings that are offered to us free of charge. They still had to be purchased, but not by us. They had to be purchased at a very high price. You and I. Also this morning, today, we may buy without money and without price because that water and that milk and that wine, they were paid for already. You know who paid that price. It was paid by him whose hands and his feet and side were pierced by those nails and by that spear thrust into his side, so that blood flowed out of his veins. That was the price. Jesus' precious blood. That is the only money that is legal tender in the kingdom of God. The sin-atoning blood of our great Redeemer. Come to him then. This being the case, this having been explained to you, what else can you do but come to him to buy his wares, even if you don't have a penny to pay? Even if you lack all the qualifications, we think sometimes we have to qualify ourselves. And then in the week of preparation, we try to work up some repentance, some sorrow for sin, so that we have the evidence we think that we need. And at the end of the week, we look within and we try to dig up something, and we come up empty. Like those disciples, they went fishing and that night they caught nothing. And so it is with us so often. There's nothing that we can look to and be satisfied with and think that God will accept. Come on his terms, congregation. Not yours. And accept the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. As the hymn writer said, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me your all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Amen. Receive first the Lord's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.